Shalom Aleichem, Chevra. We are continuing with Reb Chaim's Orchus Yosher. And what can I say? So today's topic, Parak Hey, is going to be, I don't want to say a controversial one, because I don't know if that's the right way to say it, controversial, but it's one that may trouble you, depending on where you're coming from. So the topic, the Os Hey, of course, is going to be corresponding to the letter, is Hadras Panim. Hadras Panim translates into the beauty, the glory, the splendor of the face. And the topic is going to be Rav Chaim's approach to a beard. So I think that probably when a lot of people begin to present this parak, they start with a lot of... well, let's just say that Rav Chaim has what some may consider to be an extreme position on this, but I don't think we need to make absolutely any excuses for Rav Chaim. I'll tell you a story that Rav Kahn told me, that when he was young, so they used to get out of yeshiva, I think on Sundays, the same time as one of the local churches got out from their prayer service or whatever. And there were some unfortunate encounters between the non-Jews and the Jews. And so apparently one time he was walking with a friend of his who was dressed like a chassid, and Rav Kahn was not dressed in that way at the time. And they both got beat up. They got beat up by the goyim. So when they were dusting themselves off and licking their wounds, so the chassid said to Rav Kahn, "I'm sorry that you got beat up because I look like a Jew." And that, Rav Kahn said, left the arishem, left the mark on him, and it meant a lot to him. And nowadays Rav Kahn definitely looks like the quintessential Rosh Hashiva. In any case, let's get to work. B'Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nivez Amar Aleph, Hadras Panim Zakan, that what's considered to be the beauty and the glory of a face, of a man's face, is a beard. Beginu Bazas, Atsugi Asaris. And so there was an incident that happened between Rabbi Yehoshua and a certain Stuki, who apparently was also a saris. He was a eunuch. So apparently he was incapable of growing a beard. So they said to him, Baruch HaMachem Shem Racham Izeh. And so the response to this fellow who is being obnoxious towards Torah was that Baruch Hashem that prevented you from the capacity, from the ability to grow a beard. So, you know, that just goes to show that the beard is something that's very significant and very special. And that if this person's mamash is going to be so obnoxious to Torah, then it's a good thing that he wasn't able to have one. Because he didn't look like a person that was special. And in all of the generations, it was always considered to be like embarrassing, like humiliating for a person not to have a beard. It's only in the later generations that this began to be cheapened. Because they learned it from the goyim who would shave their faces, and the Jews did not. So just historically speaking, when the Torah speaks about shaving, so the Torah is, let me say it like this. If you were to look up in the Rambam, like we said many times, the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah has an encyclopedic presentation of all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And Rambam presented it, categorized it himself, and had to decide, right? It's not in alphabetical order. So the Rambam is an encyclopedia, which is topical. So he had to decide where to put every single topic in Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rambam got to the topic of beard and payas. And the Rambam had to decide where he's going to put it, that we should be able to open up the sefer and find all the halachas of beard and payas. So where do you think the Rambam put it? So what are our options? Something to do with Jewish dress, something to do with, I don't know, where would you put the halacha of beard and payas? So the Rambam puts in the halachas of avodah zarah. What's it doing in the halachas of avodah zarah? So the Rambam got it straight out of the Pesukim. The Pesukim, when they talk about the obdei avodah zarah, and then we're not supposed to do things in their ways. So that's where the Rambam has these halachas of not shaving off the beard and not shaving off the payas. So the idea is that the Rambam learns very clearly that the reason why the Torah prohibits it is because this is what the Goyim did, and not just the Goyim, but the Obdei Avodah Zarah. In fact, the priest in Yiddish is called a galach, which means the shaved one. So this is something that Jews traditionally didn't do, that as you go back in history, the Jews always had a beard. And this is something that over the years they began to look more like the Goyim by shaving off the beard, of course, in a mutter way, in a sense that, well, who says that's an iser? But that's what Reb Chaim is going to get involved in, is what exactly may be the iser. In other words, there are three ways that are really two to go about removing the beard. So one way is what's called a razor, and that's what the Torah says explicitly is prohibited. What if a person has some sort of, they used to have this powder that they would put on or a cream they would put on, and it would burn away the hair on the face. So there was no razor involved, but the result was that the person is clean shaven, in quotation marks, that the person doesn't have a beard. That's option number two. And option number three is an electric shaver, which is the ones that are mutter are the ones that work in a scissor action. So it wouldn't be considered a razor. The way that scissors work is that they crush the hair. They don't actually slice it off at the skin. I see you're saying to yourself, what about Naruka lift and cut? All right, so that's a shaila. If that's really just lifting up the hair and cutting it against the skin, that may be actually considered to be a razor and not a scissors, and that may actually be a problem. So many people who use the Norelcos and those types, so they actually remove the lift and cut systems from them. In any case, there are different types of electric shavers as well. So those are basically the three options. And Reb Chaim is against all of them, as we will see, that at the end of the day, the consequence is that the person doesn't have a beard. And whether or not the issue in the halacha is this an appropriate way to do it? Is one violating the iser? At the end of the day, the person has no hadras panim. And that's Reb Chaim's point. And we'll see stories in the end, many, many stories about Reb Chaim, that he told people to grow a beard, and a lot of the issues that they came to him to discuss for brachas were worked out, the resolves of themselves. So there's a real inyan to having a beard, hadras panim, regardless of the mechanism through which one may go about trying to remove it. We're talking Yonasan. In Yonasan Targum, his translation to Psukei Torah, that forget again, forgetting about the issue of how it's removed, mutarasser, the consequence, the result of not having a beard, according to the Targum Yonasan, is a violation of dressing like a woman. And that means it doesn't make a difference how one removes it, even if it's a scissors, which the Torah, which the Gemara says clearly is mutter. So at the end of the day, the result is that one violates looking like a woman, according to the Targum Yonasan. Sefer Chinuch writes this as well. V'hoisiv gam kein sho'ever mishum chugzim le'seleicho. And he writes it also, it's considered a violation of following in the ways of the Goyim, following the minhagim, the customs of the Goyim. V'viyo Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzer, and Chafetz Chaim quotes it. In his Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzer, that's a Sefer and the Chafetz Chaim put together of all of the mitzvahs that are applicable bizman hazeh. Mitzvahs that don't apply bizman hazeh, Beis HaMikdash, Tumah V'Tahara, things that were not noyeg bizman hazeh, he does not include. He only includes those things that are noyeg to our times, and he quotes this over there. The Chazon Ish, so as you know, Reb Chaim was very, very close with the Chazon Ish and follows generally everything that the Chazon Ish said and did. And so he says that the Chazon Ish was very, very upset about this issue that people were removing the beard, however they were doing it. We're not talking about the electric shavers. Where again, the Chafetz Chaim addressed, where again, the Chafetz Chaim wasn't even addressing electric ones, but he was addressing a certain type of hand shaver at the time. That a person is technically violating the shaving off of the beard. So Reb Chaim here does not get involved with the details about why that should be, because the Gemara does talk about the idea that it would be mutter in some sort of scissors action. But however, this particular item worked, so is the opinion of the Chafetz Chaim. There was a violation of the Isser Deraisa of shaving with a razor. The Chazon Ish opinion was that any electric shaver is no good, no matter how it works. It's too close, and in fact, at the end of the day, it's a razor. Here's very interesting. The Chazon Ish was approached by someone that said, I know someone that's shaving with a razor. So should I give him an electric shaver? So at least that way he's not shaving with a razor. And then I'll convince him to use the electric one. So the Chazon Ish said, no, Absolutely not. You're not doing anything better. It doesn't change anything. Raksivalim Korlagoy told him to sell the electric shaver to a guy. So that's wow. So that's really in a very interesting position where the Chazon Ish was of the opinion there's mamish no difference between an electric shaver and a razor. Pretty scary. V'chein, his Adoni Avi Meir Rebbe Zichrono Livracha Chayalim Abba, which is of course a reference to the stapler, his father. Is also very strict about this. That the shaver is very close to being mamish, an actual razor. And therefore, one would violate five prohibitions when one uses it. That Rav Shach also made a comment on this. In the text over here, they change it from Shlita to Zatzal, because when the Sefer was written, he was still alive. So the Rav Chaim wrote Shlita, but of course, he was Nifter a long time ago. So the text has been changed to Zatzal. And this is the language of Rav Shach. When it comes to shaving with an electric shaver, take a look at what the Chafetz Chaim himself says in Badaf Yadalim and Bez and Makis. That it's usher and one should not be lenient about it. And that's a reference, he says, to an electric shaver, according to the Chafetz Chaim, whatever was available at his time. Like we said before, the Chazon Ish asked all of them. Ad kan l'shoinoi, that is a quote from Rav Shach. It's only Rak afilu, it's interesting language. Rak afilu, the only even those who remove the beard with a cream or whatever it's going to be, shikarin sam, which is referred to as a sam, the word that's being used here for a cream. Gam ken molahay sadayt mechmezeh. He also was not happy about it because of the result, even though the form of doing it would not be the same as sir. Chofetz Chaim mechibur sefer shalim al zeh. Chofetz Chaim actually wrote an entire book about this. Nikra tiferes adam. This is what the Chofetz Chaim writes in that sefer. Is correct, so appropriate not to shave off the beard even with scissors. Because according to Kabbalah, that it uproots pipelines, channels of Kedusha above. In other words, that the beard is considered to be channels, pipelines for Kedusha to connect to us down here from above. Rabbi Seinu, there is a fascinating distinction, by the way, between hair on the face and hair on the head. That in Kabbalah, hair on the face is considered connected to chesed, and hair on the head is considered connected to din. So that's why traditionally we always try to keep the hair on our head shorter and the hair on our face to be longer, to emphasize the chesed and connect the Ribbono Shel Olam to chesed, and to minimize the hair on the head, which represents din. It also, by the way, is connected to the idea that the Levim, who represent Midas HaDin, that for them to enter into the Kedusha of being a Levi, if you remember in Chumash, they had to shave all of their hair off, because that the Levi himself represents Midas HaDin. And our ancestors, and going back generations in our country, were very machmir not to remove the beard in any way, even with the scissors. And certainly more so. How much more so nowadays? And there were many who refers to as the prutzim, breaking the boundaries in destroying the beard with a razor. So because there's become a laxity in attitude towards the significance of a beard, therefore it's a great mitzvah in general for Klal Yisrael to strengthen ourselves in this, and therefore to go above and beyond, and therefore not to even trim the beard down, even with the scissors. The purpose being to show everybody that the mitzvahs of the Torah that the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded us, that we should be visibly Jewish, are very precious to us. We're not embarrassed of them. And if we take a look, I'm growing it long so everybody can see the beauty of what this mitzvah that I'm following Hashem. In other words, the Chafetz Chaim is giving us a mahalach, that when you see that there are certain things that are mitzvahs from the Torah that people are embarrassed about, there's an agenda to make a statement. So, you know, for example, if you live in a place where everybody is tucking in their tzitzis, so there may be a real inyan to make sure not to tuck in your tzitzis, even if maybe you don't usually, but now you're in a place where people are just, you know, embarrassed to wear their tzitzis. So maybe it would be bedafka an inyan to go in the opposite direction to express that we are taking pride in this. We should make a club, maybe, you know, the mitzvos, the pride mitzvah, pride and mitzvos alliance. Anyway, mashal adam adam, man. What is this similar to? Let's give it a mashal. Adam sharim lai. Person, then they say to him, the chacham gadol, wow, your beard's really long. Amar lahem, yeah, keneged hamashchisim. So let it be opposite those who are destroying it. What is that supposed to mean? Uperesh b'taisus rabbeinu Yehuda. It's also quoted, he writes in the Chiddush HaRashba. Shakavanah says that this mashal means the following. They were asking him, why in the world did you grow your beard so long? So he answered him, because there are people that cut it off. And they say about this prohibition of you're not supposed to destroy the beard, that it's like, you know, it's not important, it's not significant, whatever. I wanted to demonstrate exactly the opposite. Up until here are his actual words. So that is a quote from the Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim, an explanation of Brachis Yud Aleph Amud Beis. That's what they are asking him. Why is your beard so long, specifically in this particular issue? In the collection of letters from the Chazanish, Al-Davar Asam, when it comes to this cream that they were using to remove, the powder to remove the beard, Im Eino Sam Hamaves, so he has a play on words here that sam, which means, you know, the cream. So if it's not a sam amavitz, if it's not a poisonous potion, that's what sam means, certainly in Gemara. If it's not a poisonous potion, eino gam sam chayim, it's also not an elixir of life. In other words, maybe it won't be the iser of removing the beard in an untechnical way, but it's certainly not a positive thing to do. It's not bringing a person closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If anything, it potentially could take him away. Moed kasha lai hadavar. So in general, this is really difficult to me. She'eina mimidas atznius, that is not considered to be a humble, tzanua thing to do. Ve'ein zelubush Yisrael, and it's certainly not the way that a Jew, so to speak, dresses, presents himself externally. Rak lamdu mehagoyim, we learned it from the goyim, bagoyla, in exile. V'sholim as a kedusha, and it's reducing and limiting our potential, our access, and our being kadosh. Shom Kasev and the Chazanish further writes over there, I've never been happier or settled. My mind has been upset from this idea that people are shaving off their beards, even in a way that's not actually a razor, but it's Ke'ein Tar. It's similar to a razor, meaning it's a scissor action, but it's very, very close to the skin. So it's just very similar to a razor. Because I have been very used to the attitudes that existed in the previous generation. And in that generation, this was something that was very, very strict. Everybody was very careful about it. Just like people, now everybody is sensitive nowadays to cutting off the shaving the head, the cutting off the payas. And in the previous generation, a person that shaved off his beard in whatever way he did it was considered to be totally inappropriate and was not looking like a Jew, like not wearing a yarmulke. And you should know that even though this is widespread nowadays, even amongst Teredika Jews, it doesn't change anything. The issue remains the same. Which is an interesting comment, right? Because he's saying, but wait a minute. So if the issue is you're not looking like a Jew anymore, but look at all of the, so many Jews today are clean shaven. So then it's looking like a Jew. It's no different. He says, absolutely not. It doesn't change anything because you see that the Torah has an attitude towards it. And once the Torah is saying that there's a value in a beard, certainly Al Pi Kabbalah even more so. So then that's what it means to look like and present like a Jew. No excuses, he says. So my soul is scorched, is burnt when it comes to this. That the Chazanish said that when somebody would come to him and he had, a small, tiny beard, I don't know, so he's going to remove this beard, he had a tiny beard, or he's growing all kinds of interesting hairstyles on his head. Maybe mom is physically sick. I wanted to vomit. So here is unbelievable. This is a lishitas, really, Reb Chaim, that the payas that people put behind their ears. He didn't like that either, according to the Chazanish. The Chazanish didn't like that. Because putting it behind the ears to shouldn't be so visible. It's like a person is embarrassed of the mitzvah. He shouldn't do it. So, you know, it's just very interesting. This is a general minig in the liturgical world. And its basis seems to be al pi Kabbalah, but it doesn't go against Reb Chaim's point at all. If you take a look in the Hasidic world, so you'll notice that they curl their payas. And in the more liturgical world, so a lot of people put their payas behind the ears. So the reason for it has to do with Kabbalah, because the payas are actually hair from the head, and the beard is hair from the face. And so the two are not supposed to mix. Like we said before, the face hair represents chesed, and the head hair represents din, and therefore the Hasidim prevent them from mixing together by curling them. And the many liturgical Jews prevent them from mixing by putting them behind their ears. So Reb Chaim is of the opinion that I guess he holds that mixing in the hairs is not an issue, and therefore there's no need to curl them, but to put them behind the ears is always trying to hide them and not just removing them from mixing with the beard hair, and therefore it's like a bizayin to the mitzvah. It's like tucking in your tzitzis. Therefore, in last, he's Cain, shouldn't do that. Lachin, his father, the stiper, said, Amar Shein Las is Cain. Also, you shouldn't put your payas behind your ears. And the reason that it's happening in Chutz La'aretz is because the Goyim are making fun of us. Even though they're going to make fun of us anyway. I am Mishnah Berurah, Simen Tov Kuf Nedalet, B'Shem HaChazanish. But here in Eretz Yisrael, that's not an issue. Shebaruch Hashem, that there's been a kosher generation with so many people that are B'nai Torah. Ain't shum tam mazalzel, there's absolutely no reason to be mazalzel in the payas arosh and put your payas behind your ears. Hashem Yisrael is again alechas b'tzuras Yisrael kiratan haTorah. Kadosh Baruch Hu should enable us and give us the zechus and a merit to follow the proper surah, the proper external presentation of a Jew, Keratzon HaTorah, in accordance with the will of the Torah. And they have a bunch of stories over here. So there was a situation where a mother saw her son and said, "Oh no, what happened to your face?" As soon as the son stepped to the door, he says, "I don't know. A few days ago, my face began feeling weird." And apparently it doesn't describe it, but apparently his face had all kinds of stuff going on over there. So she said, "I'm making a doctor's appointment right away. We have to find out what's behind this." And the doctor could not figure it out. So the young man and his parents began running from one doctor to another. None of them could figure out what exactly is going on with this guy's face. In distress, the bracha went to Reb Chaim to ask for his advice and his bracha. So Reb Chaim said, you're bothered by what your face looks like. You want hadras panim. You want a beautiful face. So you should grow a beard. That's what it means. Hadras panim. You removed your beard. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took away your hadras panim. So he grew a beard, and within a short time, his face resumed its normal appearance. Sometime later, the same young man came to tell Reb Chaim he was engaged to be married. Reb Chaim expressed great joy at the news. This is very interesting. One day, a man from Lakewood came with a shayla. He says a relative of his was suffering from kidney trouble, any kidney failure, whatever, and he mamash needed a transplant. And the man said that he was the only member of his family who was a suitable donor, but he wasn't sure what to do because he had a dilemma. He was a kohen. And when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so he was afraid that he won't be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash if he donates a kidney, because he'll be considered to have a mum, and it'll be possible to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So Reb Chaim said sharply, a missing internal organ is not a mum. Okay, very interesting. So that's Reb Chaim Shita. A missing internal organ is not a mum for a kohen. You can donate the kidney, and it will be a mitzvah for you. Then as the man was about to depart, Reb Chaim called after him, "But you're disqualified for the avodah in any case." So the guy turned around and he said, "What? What does that mean?" So he says, "Ramban says that a kohen who has no beard is pasul for avoida. You shave your beard, so you're pasul. You're disqualified to do the avoida." Sitting at the Shabbos table, Reb Chaim asked if there was a kohen present. Finding that it was a bacher from Chutz La'aretz, not from Eretz Yisrael, who was a kohen, Reb Chaim honored him with leading the benching. Afterward, Reb Chaim said, I guess to other people, "I gave him the honor so as not to hurt his feelings, because he was the kohen that was there. But the truth is that he doesn't deserve it, because he shaves with a shaver." But the Chazon Ish was stringent about this, and the Ramban al HaTorah states that one who shaves his beard will not share in the laws of a kohen. Wow. Rucham related that a group of men from abroad ate at his home one Friday night, all of them clean shaven. He said, I led the Birkas HaMazon because there was a question whether the entire group fell into the category of Kitanim, since they had no beards. That's funny. Rucham related that Rukiba Eger lived in Posen, where everyone was clean shaven. One day, someone arrived from Warsaw to bring Rukiba Eger a letter. Going out to meet him, he saw that the wagon driver sported a beard. He was so moved that he kissed the man on his beard. The driver was so excited that he received a kiss from Rukiba Eger that he abandoned his job, entered the base manager, and began doing nothing but learning Torah. So here's a couple of stories about the segulas of having a beard that people saw by Ruchayim. Frequently, when people come to Ruchayim seeking his bracha for children and other challenges that they're facing, he tells them to grow a beard. And with Hashem's help, they will receive the salvation they need. Indeed, many have been helped in this way. There are a lot of stories about this. Ruchayim once said, people come to me with problems and suffering, and I ask them to make some small effort, like growing a beard, taking off their wristwatch and the like. Right? Ruchayim was very big on this. He held that a man wearing a watch was considered dressing like a woman, and that a man should not wear a watch. That was a unique opinion of his. If they make an effort to do something in honor of Hashem, it will serve as a merit for them. His grandson, Rav Gedalia Honigsberg, witnessed a meeting in which a man showed Ruchayim a letter regarding an illness the doctor said could not be healed. Grow a beard, Ruchayim advised, and it'll go away. But the doctor said, I told you, Ruchayim repeated forcefully, grow a beard and it will go away. Sometime later, the man returned, sporting a full beard and in full health. Another man close to Ruchayim found himself in financial difficulty. Grow a beard, Ruchayim advised, and the more your beard grows, the more money you will have. Baruch Hashem, today his beard is long and flowing. As Ruchayim promised, his wealth has grown apace. Not long ago, the room at Ruchayim's entrance hummed with activity. It was his daily time for receiving the public. In came a man, accompanied by several more. None of the others in the room recognized him. He was one of the 50 wealthiest men in the world and was escorted by two bodyguards, the kind that provide security for a mobile bank. The man walked in and looked around at the house filled with sfarim. After a brief waiting period, he was ushered into the inner sanctum and sat down. Ruchayim looked at him. One of the bodyguards introduced him. Mr. So-and-so is a great supporter of Torah. Just this past month, a beautiful shul building worth several million dollars was completed. It was a donation from this guy. Each month, he gives a certain Rosh Kollel an enormous sum of money. He helps this organization and has promised another one a huge amount of money from another, et cetera, et cetera. So the guy went on singing his praises of the tens of millions that the man had given and would continue to give. Ruchayim was silent. When the litany of praise was over, he said, so what does he want now? So what? Just as if the man was not a billionaire, Ruchayim didn't care how much money a person had. From his perspective, every Jew was created in the image of God. And so, he wasn't, impressed. Mamash was not impressed. The magnate very excitedly said that this was the first time that he had the privilege of seeing the Rav. He very much wanted to make him happy. Please let his honor, the Rav, should tell me what purpose I should donate money to, and I will give whatever sum the Rav wishes so that the Rav will be happy. He just wanted to make Rav Chaim happy. All those present in the room were in suspense. When the Rav requested donation for the Kollel Yungalite whose welfare concerned him, or perhaps B'nai Brak's poor, or some other worthy purpose, what was he going to ask money for? And then Rav Chaim responded, yes, there is something that I want from you. Please, your honor, I am ready. The man put his hand in his pocket to take out his checkbook. Ruchayim pointed at the man's face and said, you shave your beard and pay us. I'd like you to grow them. That's what I need. The man was surprised. He thought that Ruchayim had not understood his request. He repeated it. No, I'm interested in giving the Rav any sum of money that he requests. But Ruchayim had understood perfectly well. He declared, look like a Jew, and repeated, if you grow your beard and pay us, that will make me happy. On the spot, the rich man said he would start to growing a beard that very day and hoped to continue. As he took his leave, he told the Gabbai, dozens of rabbis have come to me and never has anyone made such a request. In truth, this is the hardest request. It's easier for me to spend money than to grow a beard. Hatzalacha.